Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour with Paul Sadek and Corey Regan starts now.
The Rediscover Hour is brought to you on Relevant Radio by Stinson Electric, your trusted electrical advisor, solving electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers. Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Thanks for joining us today.
And we are, as we speak on Friday morning, in the middle of a heat wave.
It is a heat wave. 36, I think, today, maybe they
said.
Yeah, right, something like that.
Right now on Friday morning, it's 22 degrees, but this is only going to last one day.
One day, a little taste of the good life, and then we're back to the polar vortex or whatever they're calling it. I don't know the term.
We can take it.
We can do it. We've done it before, and here we are again, and it's winter. It's only January still?
But only less than 2 months until spring.
Okay, we'll say that.
All right. Well, coming up on the Rediscover Hour today, we'll hear about a local retreat opportunity for young people that's developed around the tweets of Pope Francis. We're calling it the Tweet Retreat. We'll talk with retreat leader Friar Rick later in the show.
Plus, we'll have a preview of the second talk in the Rediscover Faith 2014 speaker series. The 2013 series drew crowds of people eager to grow in the faith, and find out more about the talks in this year's series, which focuses on prayer.
And find out about a special opportunity for single parents offering heavenly help in raising their children.
But first, we'll start the show today like we usually do with Joe Towalski, editor of the Catholic Spirit. Hello, Joe.
Good morning, Corey. Good morning, Paul.
What's new at the Catholic Spirit these days?
Well, it's an off week for us, but it's been a busy week. Nevertheless, of course, we had the annual commemoration of the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court ruling this week, and this year was the 41st anniversary, and there were a number of events in the Archdiocese this past Wednesday to give people an opportunity to reflect on the anniversary and help cultivate a culture of life and of hope, and that included a prayer vigil for hope, healing, and mercy at the chapel of St. Paul's Seminary, and the annual prayer service for life at the cathedral, and then, of course, the March for Life at the state capitol. And these events were happening at the same time the National Prayer Vigil and March for Life were going on in Washington, D.C., both of which a number of our Catholic youth in the Archdiocese attended. So,
it was a big day across the country.
Yeah. So today, to talk a little bit about the events both here and in Washington, D.C., we have two guests, Sharon Wilson, the Respect Life Coordinator with the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, and Maggie Seidel, a student at Bethlehem Academy in Faribault and a parishioner at Divine Mercy Church there who attended the march in Washington, D.C. So good morning, Sharon and Maggie.
Good morning. Nice to hear from you, Joe.
Yeah, Sharon, let me ask you first. How did the prayer vigil at the seminary chapel go? This was the second year for that, right?
Yeah, it's the second year of the prayer vigil, and the purpose of the vigil is to, first of all, gain some awareness for the men and women who are suffering from abortion, either directly or as medical professionals, and also to pray for more of them to come to healing. So it's a beautiful event.
Mm-hmm. And the prayer service at the cathedral, I know Bishop Cousins told that great story about when his mom was pregnant with him.
It was an amazing event again. It was wonderful to have Bishop Cousins there. He's so strongly pro-life. And, he told his story about how he should have been aborted, and a doctor had called him a freak. And he even mentioned that the headlines when he became bishop was, "Bishop Freak becomes bishop."
I think that was our headline in the Spirit. But certainly it was a very cold day, and that didn't seem to really turn anybody away. The cathedral was packed, and the march was well attended despite the cold, I think. And I know there were topics brought up there of some legislation that might be popping up, some pro-life legislation this spring as the legislature convenes. Can you maybe just talk just generally about what some of that might be, some things that might have been carried over from the last legislative session that will get attention again?
Yeah, we're bringing back the Pain-Capable Child Protection Act, and I think it was a couple of years ago, and it's interesting because Bishop Cousins, Father Cousins at the time, was one of the people called to testify testify when we were trying to make that into reality. And that would be, if that's looking to be reintroduced again. And looking at making, it sounds like a little bit archaic that the fact that we know that children before birth can feel pain, yet we still have abortions that inflict that pain on them. So the idea is to restrict abortions to a time when at least they are not able to feel pain. So that's one. And of course, we're still continuing with providing positive alternatives. So continuing the funding for those organizations and individuals who are looking for those positive alternatives to abortion and helping them financially. So that's always on the legislative efforts, right, and to continue with that.
Right. And I think there's an effort as well to try to get something passed so no taxpayer funds,
yes,
would go toward abortions. Right?
Yeah, and I think most people do not realize that a third of the abortions are funded by our dollars. And we need to be vigilant on making sure that we put in the laws and the legislation that our conscience can be clear that I am not helping to fund that through our taxes.
Right. Well, I noticed a lot of youth in attendance at the prayer service in March here in St. Paul, and there were certainly a lot at the National March from what I've heard, including Maggie. So I'd like to maybe just ask Maggie a question or two here.
I'll give you to Maggie here.
Hello.
Hi, Maggie.
Hi.
Hey, could you tell us a little bit about what you did and what the experience was like going down to Washington for that march and prayer vigil?
Okay. So on the first day, we had a free day, and we kind of went touring around, and that was cool. And then on the second day, there was, like, the huge convention. And there was, before, every morning when we got up in the hotel, we would sit down to morning prayer, and there would be time for, there was like an hour of adoration each morning, and that was like really cool. And there was, before we even left, there was a mass, and at the end of the entire trip, there was another mass, and there was just like all of these amazing things going on. And then during the trip, there was just so many people, like you couldn't even see the end of the line. It was amazing.
I bet you it's just incredible to see all those people, but I bet you it was pretty incredible to be with a lot of people your age too, to give that pro-life witness. I think sometimes we don't, you know, a lot of people might not think youth are involved much in the pro-life movement, but I think this is a testament that surely is a true thing, that there is a lot of involvement. Did that surprise you? Did that make you feel pretty good to be a pro-life Catholic there?
It feels like really good to know that what I believe is kind of surrounded around me by a lot of more people kind of just like me. Like, I'm a youth that believes in pro-life. Like, not a lot of people would, like, go out and say that. And so to find, like, a huge, amazing group of people that are going to go out there and say these things and just be there for the babies, like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really cool.
Will you be doing anything, now that you're back here in Minnesota, has it motivated you to do anything more on the issue?
Yeah, actually on the bus we discussed kind of continuing the pro-life movement, and we separated into groups, and we talked about, like, different ways that we could do that by starting, like, pro-life groups in our schools. We could do more fundraisers for pregnancy centers around us, volunteer there. We could pray around Planned Parenthoods and, like, other abortion clinics and just, like, all the things that we can do to be more active with that. And so we discussed, like, quite a few of them, and right now they're not really coming to mind, but there is a lot of ways that we could totally do that.
Well, that's great. Well, it's great to hear from you. I know it was a wonderful experience. So thank you for joining us, Maggie and Sharon. Thanks for
having me.
Yes.
So what else is happening in the Catholic spirit? I see Catholic Schools Week is coming up.
Yep.
I know that's always coming up because all of my wedding pictures have Catholic Schools Week banners in them.
Is your anniversary obviously coming up?
Right.
Oh, wow, yeah. Well, it starts on Sunday, that's right, and the theme this year is Catholic Schools, Communities of Faith, Knowledge, and Service. And we'll have a special section devoted to the celebration in our January 30th issue, as we do every year. And among the stories, we'll be featuring time is a profile on Mary Adrian. She's the principal at Holy Spirit School in St. Paul, and she was recently recognized as a distinguished principal by the National Catholic Educational Association. And she's one of just 12 in the entire nation to get this honor, and she'll be picking up that award at the NCAA's National Convention in April in Pittsburgh. And, you know, it's just one more in a long line. We've had a few local principals receive this award in recent years, and it's just a great testament to the skill and the dedication of, you know, the Catholic teachers and principals in our archdiocese. And we'll also have a story about efforts underway to promote servant leadership in our Catholic high schools and elementary schools, and a feature on the progress of a regional Catholic school in the White Bear Lake area that opens this fall, and a feature about how some volunteers, including some retired nurses and other healthcare professionals, are filling a need at St. Stephen's School in Anoka by covering shifts in the school's health office during the week. So
let me put you on the spot, yeah. Joe. Over the last couple of generations, Catholic education has, by necessity, gone through kind of a transition with the decline of the use of women religious in instruction and fewer priests, and there are more lay people teaching and administering mm-hmm. today. Do you think Catholic education has kind of hit its stride now in this era?
Well, I think so. You know, I think there's a growing realization about, you know, really needing to focus in on Catholic identity and what does that mean. And I think that was just a very automatic thing, maybe, when we had, you know, priests and religious in the classrooms. And we still have a little bit of that, but certainly it's mostly lay people now.
Right.
So I think there's an intentionality to being educated about it, to implementing it, that is good for the schools and certainly good for the students. I think the, you know, the more educated our school staffs are and that can impart that to our kids, the better off everybody is, and the healthier Catholic education is. And there's a lot of that going on right now, so I think you're right. I think it has been hitting its stride lately, and there's a lot to be proud about in our Catholic schools.
Good to hear.
We'll look forward to reading all about that in the next issue of The Catholic Spirit next week.
That's right.
In the meantime, the January 16th issue of The Catholic Spirit is out and should be on your coffee table and in your hands and in front of your eyes. Joe Towalski, thanks for joining us again.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Joe. You too.
We'll catch you next week. You can hear Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit, every week here on the Rediscover Hour, and you can find The Catholic Spirit online anytime at thecatholicspirit.com.
And coming up on the Rediscover Hour in Answering the Call, we'll speak with Pat and Kenna Millay about their talk in the upcoming Rediscover Faith 2014 speaker series.
And to hear about the Tweet Retreat. The Tweet Retreat for young people. That's coming up when we come right back.
Rediscover. The Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio is presented each week by Stinson Electric.
This is Paul Archambault of Stinson Electric. We're proud to sponsor the Rediscover Hour. Stinson Electric is a trusted supplier of electrical services in the Twin Cities area.
Stinson Electric solves electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers.
My customers really appreciate the electricians that I send out there. Their professionalism, their personality, their responsibility, the fact that they can call and get someone out there that knows how to solve the problem, does it in a timely manner, and is neat, tidy, polite as they do it. I get a lot of feedback about the employees.
It's rare to find a company so dedicated to doing business the right way so that everyone benefits.
We'd like to be your trusted electrical advisor. I'd be happy to meet with you and discuss your electrical needs. I can be reached at 612-424-7382 or on the web at StinsonElectricInc.com.
Oh, I need a song that's never old. Story never told. Promise that just.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Corey Regan.
And I'm Paul Sadek. In order to reach out and engage young people in the faith, you need to reach them where they are at, and that means online and in particular via social media. You need to reach them with a message that resonates with them.
An upcoming retreat at the Franciscan Retreats and Spirituality Center in Prior Lake does just that. On January 31st and February 1st, young people are invited to Pope Francis on Twitter, a retreat for young adults ages 18 to 35. And for more on this fascinating retreat opportunity, we are joined by Franciscan Friar Rick Riccioli. Riccioli, I hope I'm saying that right, leader of the retreat. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us today, Friar Rick.
Good morning, Corey. Good morning, Paul.
I hope I didn't butcher your last name.
You're doing great. Thank you.
Well, tell us a little bit about you and your background and this retreat.
As you mentioned, I'm a Franciscan friar, and I worked in a variety of ministries such as vocational work and publishing and formation and especially parish work. And more recently, I've been focusing on young adult ministry with a program called Francis Corps, which is a one-year service experience for university graduates,
okay,
where they come and live Franciscan life, lay Franciscan life together as a community, and intensely serve the poor, either in central New York or in sunny Costa Rica, where I was last week.
Oh, wow. Jealous.
The Franciscans are all over, aren't they?
We are.
Not only geographically, but in a huge variety of ministries.
Sure, because there were, like many of the communities that were founded in the 12th century, we have no specific apostolate. We are a type of religious life called evangelical. So living the gospel in community is our primary mission. And then that gets expressed in a variety. It flows from community, and it gets expressed in a variety of ways.
Well,
we're very blessed that way.
You know the old joke, of course, that there are only two things that even God doesn't know, and one is how many different kinds of Franciscans are there?
there are many types. You know, Franciscans are friars and brothers, sisters, and millions of lay men and women. So we're a very diverse group, you're right.
Yes. So tell us a little bit about this tweet retreat and how the idea came up for it.
Well, the retreat on Twitter, Bob Roddy, the director of the retreat center, said, hey, Rick, would you come over and do something for young adults since you're working with young adults at Francis Corps? And I said, sure, we talked about it. And I mentioned to him that one of the things that's happened that's been remarkable since Pope Francis, well, it began with Pope Benedict, but with Pope Francis especially, has been that he's been using Twitter very effectively. And I'm a bit of a news junkie, so
right,
I like to start my morning, just surveying the news. And Twitter is great for that.
It is.
Get the headlines, right? So, but then what happened was I found myself reading the tweets by the Pope or tweets by others about the Pope, and especially his morning homily at the Domus Marta, or his audience, or the Wednesday audience, or the Angelus. And what happened is I ended up integrating it into my prayer life, because it would kind of stop me dead in my tracks and think, oh, I never thought of that
mm-hmm.
that way. And so I've been using Twitter for prayer, which I thought was kind of cool. And
it is.
I wanted to offer that to young adults as a vehicle for developing their spiritual life.
Well, and it's young adults ages 18 to 35. I think it's kind of funny that I'm 36, so I guess I'm not considered young anymore.
You can't
I missed
go.
The cutoff. Darn it. But what do you hope that these young people take away from this type of retreat?
So I think there'll be two parts to it. One will be just an awareness of what exists on Twitter and
uh-huh.
some of the Catholic resources and the people who are tweeting, especially some of the better journalists around the world. There's a guy, Rocco Palma, from Whispers in the Loggia, who has some beautiful, beautiful insights.
Yeah, who to follow would be...
Yeah, Catholic News Service is amazing, and whoever's doing their tweets right now is just really, really right on.
Okay.
And of course, following the Pope, but the Pope is like number two in the world for followers.
Uh-huh.
He's got over 10 million followers. I think it's about 3.2 or so in English, 4 million followers in Spanish. He tweets in 9 languages, you know, and obviously he doesn't sit there and tweet himself. the Holy See, officials of the Holy See, the press office, who do the tweeting based on his text.
And do they do them in all the languages?
They do. And I was actually just talking with Father Tomasik of My Television Canada, and he's worked with the press office. I was getting some more information about how that works for the retreat. So I'll be sharing hopefully a few little secrets with the participants.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a real amazing explosion of the Pope's presence on the internet.
There's a real challenge involved in Twitter, at least I believe so, in trying to enunciate something clearly in 140 characters or less. In addition to that, what in the content of the Pope's tweets is really grabbing you?
So just a heads up, really, you actually have to tweet in 120 words.
120
characters.
Oh, okay.
Because
I was 20 too long.
Because you need the, if you want your tweet to get somewhere, it needs to be retweeted. And so you need to have a little bit of extra space for the next person to tweet it along.
Okay.
So you can aim for 120 if you want to be effective. What's unique about the Pope, and sometimes it's the Pope, and sometimes it's those talking about the Holy Father, but what's changed is that there's a down-to-earth directness about it, and the kind of imagery that he uses that really makes a difference. For example, when I was studying preaching in Washington at the Theological Union, we had a wonderful Sulpicia priest called Bob Wasnack, who unfortunately died. And he used to say, when you're preaching, don't talk about the bovine nature. Talk about Betsy the cow. Make it real, make mm-hmm. it concrete, make it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what the Pope does, right? When he says things like, priests should be like shepherds, and shepherds should smell like their sheep.
Right.
Like, immediately you get that.
You get it.
So, yeah, and we talk about, you know, sometimes priests can be a little unctuous, and you know, the anointing of the Spirit hasn't been so much of an inspiration, but they've gotten a little slippery and a little whatever. And criticizing some of the, you know, the gossip and careerism in the clergy, you can see that, and certainly some of us have had experiences with that. So I think he's concrete, down to earth, gets
simple
human life. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and so in most retreats, you know, you're asked to avoid all contact with your phone, even be silent in some of them. But this is quite different, obviously. You're encouraging tweeting and texting and posting. And could you say a little bit more about that?
Well, it is unusual. And right now, I'm actually on a retreat now with our Syracuse Francis Core group. And we just told them to away their phones and
yeah.
be quiet.
Yeah, right.
But in this case, I'm trying to make a point that, you know, it's still in the church today. Some people still see the internet and Facebook and Twitter as a virtual reality.
Okay.
And the reality is that it's not virtual. Facebook is real relationships, and Twitter is real.
It is, yeah.
As the Pope said yesterday in the message on communication, for the Day of Communications, that we have to be careful that it builds relationships in the flesh as well. But I encourage people to see that their faith can be expressed through social media, and not be afraid to do that, and not to be too afraid to tweet and post and text about not just gossip and maligning people, but also about stuff that inspires and draws people closer to God.
A good way to witness and evangelize.
Sure, absolutely.
Have you done a Pope tweet retreat before, Father?
No, this is my first. I'm really kind of nervous.
Okay.
I would appreciate your prayers and the prayers of all your
listeners. Absolutely.
You got it.
Because, it's a little scary.
Now, are you going to be checking ideas at the door? I mean, what if I sneak in and I'm old, over 35? I mean,
you know, you're welcome. Okay. To come. We just want to make sure that we reach out to young adults who often, you know,
the younger
don't
ones.
Fit. Yeah.
Right. That fit the what you're talking about. I get it.
Yeah.
Friar Rick, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and we look forward to the tweet retreat.
Well, I really appreciate it, Paul. Corey, thank you very much for your invitation.
Good luck. Can't wait to hear how it goes.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Here are the details on the Pope Francis on Twitter. A retreat for young adults ages 18 to 35 takes place Friday, January 31st. That's next Friday, runs through early evening on Saturday, February 1st. It's at the Franciscan Retreats and Spirituality Center in Prior Lake.
And the retreat is directed by Friar Rick Riccioli, who was our guest today. Check-in is from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. on Friday, January 31st, and check-out is Saturday, February 1st after 4:30 Mass. And the cost is $85 and includes lodging and meals. And if you can't afford the full amount, call the Franciscans and they can help you out. Reserve your spot at 952-447-2182 or franciscanretreats.net. And we've linked that information on our show page. And we want to remind you that you can follow Friar Rick on Twitter at Friar Rick.
This week marked the tragic anniversary of Roe v.ersus Wade. Hundreds of people turned out at the cathedral to reflect on the lives lost and our call to protect life and to pray for healing.
And we asked people at the prayer service for life at the cathedral, what are you praying for today? And here's how they responded.
I'm Anne from Our Lady of Peace in Minneapolis. Of course, I'm praying for the unborn and for all expectant mothers, but mostly for a change of heart for people in our country so that they'd recognize the right to light of all, especially the most defenseless.
Hi, I'm Amy from St. Agnes Parish in St. Paul, and I am praying for the changing of hearts and minds.
Hi, I'm Carolyn from St. Thomas More, and what am I praying for today? It's the sanctity of life, and I guess most of all, for the support of those women who are making that decision so that they feel supported.
My name is Kay. I'm a parishioner at All Saints in Lakeville, and I'm praying today for the healing of all women who've had abortions, that the Lord will lead them to understand what's happened and turn to Him, repent, believe in His love and forgiveness and mercy, and be healed.
Fred. Hi, I'm Fred, St. Mary's Parish, Little Falls, Minnesota. We're praying today for an end to abortion and the defunding of Planned Parenthood.
And we catch up with local Catholics and ask them a question every week. And if you have an idea for a question, share it with us on our show page. Just go to rediscover-faith.org and click on radio in the top navigation bar.
Coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, find out about a special opportunity for single parents offering heavenly help in raising their children.
But first, we'll have a sneak peek at the second talk in the Rediscover Faith 2014 speaker series when we come right back.
The recent cold weather has certainly reminded us that basic car care can really help keep our cars and trucks working properly in any season. Many of us, especially young drivers, lack basic understanding of how many functions on today's vehicles work and how they should be maintained. If it's been a while or if you've never been given a complete explanation of basic car care for modern cars, attend this free car care academy at Westside Tire this Saturday, January 25th. Service techs at Westside will take the time to show you in an organized class using actual vehicles how they work and how they should be maintained for best reliability and safety. The Westside Tire Car Care Academy is this Saturday, January 25th, and is free to Relevant Radio listeners. Register by calling Westside Tire today at 763-420-2100. The Car Care Academy is this Saturday at 11 a.m. Lunch and door prizes for all who register and attend this informative free event. Westside Tire, 763-420-2100. They'll take care of you.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. In today's Answering the Call, we have a preview of the all-new Rediscover Faith 2014 speaker series. And maybe you attended the 2013 speaker series talks early last year. And if you did, then you know they were extraordinarily well attended.
And if you listened to last week's show, you know we had Father Bill Baer on to offer a preview of talk one in the 2014 series. Today we're hearing from Pat and Kenna Millay, who present the second talk in the series, Rediscover How to Pray, starting February 10th. Thanks for joining us, Pat and Kenna.
Good morning, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Tell us a little bit about this talk now. First, tell us about yourselves and what brings you to doing a ministry like this, an apostolate.
Well, you know, we have been really passionate about the Rediscover program all the way through its inception here in the Archdiocese. We see so many friends and family of ours that are in various ways disconnected from the church, and it's such a blessing to be able to extend invitations in really exciting ways with the big celebration back in October and with the speaker series coming up in the spring to kind of share the joy and the peace and all the amazing opportunities that, that our faith offers.
And tell us a little bit about yourself, Kenna.
Sure. Well, currently I work part-time at our home parish, which is Our Lady of Peace in Minneapolis.
Okay.
And have also started pursuing my master's in marriage and family therapy.
Oh, great.
So it's just a beautiful way to bring together my passion for building up families, building up the domestic church, and helping parents to be that primary faith former, that primary catechist in all stages of their children's lives.
Pat, you're the director of the Confirmation Program in High School Youth Ministry at St. Michael in Prior Lake. Tell us what led you there.
Well, whenever people ask me that question, the short answer is always God. Mm-hmm. God led me there. The longer answer is that it was a long process of kind of uncovering my vocation throughout college and beyond. I had a sense in college that God was calling me into direct ministry, especially the young people with some of the campus ministry and youth ministry things I was involved in then. And then in graduate school for theology after undergrad, I really got some great formation and great kind of specific calling in that vocation. So for 10 years now, I've been doing youth ministry generally and specifically in parishes in different parts of the country, and now I've been at St. Michael and Prior Lake for 3.5 blessed years.
Great. And now you guys are doing the talk together, correct? And it's titled How to Pray, Rediscover How to Pray. And give us a little bit about what people will learn in coming to your talk.
Yes, we are doing the talk together, and
that's fun.
That has posed its blessings and challenges for the two of us. But, you know, the topic itself is one that we rarely ask one another as Catholics, as faithful. You know, how's your prayer life? What are things that work for you? Here's what I'm struggling with. It's such an intimate, personal topic.
Right.
So for us to be able to speak boldly about what our struggles are and to hope that people can identify and find hope in that we're all common in our struggles, but also for us to share about how we have integrated prayer into our family's life. We have two very small children, and, you know, and prayer is the foundation of our marriage as well. So to talk concretely about things that have worked for us and how we are still growing in relationship with God.
How to pray seems like such a huge, broad
topic.
Well,
right. It's like, is there really a right way? What works for some might not work for others. Or
it's like saying, in 5 minutes or less, tell me the meaning of life.
Right, right. It's a big topic. And do you guys
see why this is challenging for us?
Right. Do y'all pray together?
We like, do. We
yeah.
do. Yeah. Yeah. Very.
And that's got to be huge for your marriage, I would think. My husband.
It really does. Kenna likes to say, and she really helped me kind of open my eyes to this as well, that there are things that we, as a married couple, learn about each other
right.
that we only really learn through prayer.
Absolutely. Your worries.
Even, you know, as a guy, I've been accused sometimes of not being a great communicator.
Right.
Most accurate,
I can't imagine
say.
That. Yeah. Right.
So it's a really fruitful way for us to communicate through God with each other, and it's been a beautiful thing for our marriage.
Absolutely. And a lot of people talk about, or it's kind of been a recurring thing for us that we've heard just on the topic of prayer, is coming up with a routine, like a pattern that you do. And I hear that a bunch. Is that something that you guys do? You have a set routine and do it this way every time, or?
Definitely. And, you know, there's various levels of prayer that we engage in, you know, with our children at bedtime, certainly ourselves as a couple, and then individually. And we have to map that out at the beginning of the week as we look at our schedules, you know, determining when are we going to attend Mass as a family? When am I going to get some personal reflection time? When will we, you know, break open the scripture together? When will we make sure that, you know, we're talking about this new feast or this season that we're in with our children.
Uh-huh.
So being intentional about
intentional,
it is
right.
important. Mm-hmm.
Now, it seems to me that as we enter into a topic like how to pray, there have got to be some prerequisites. Do we have to come to a better understanding of our own individual relationship with God?
I believe so, yes. And, you know, the beauty of coming at this from a Catholic perspective is we have more than 2,000 years of God literally telling us how to pray through the Church. So,
yeah.
In a lot of ways, we're just, you know, taking from this beautiful ancient tradition and kind of sharing it, maybe in a way that's a little more practical, a little more relevant to the world today. But absolutely, I mean, we all have to come to an understanding of how much we rely on God. One of my favorite quotes that kind of shapes the way that hopefully I live on a daily basis is the quote that says, "Work as if everything depended on you, pray as if everything depended on God."
Wow.
And I know for myself, I think for a lot of people, we're very good at thinking that everything depends on us. And I have to constantly remind myself that really almost nothing depends on me, that everything always depends on God. So I have to pray as if it did.
And what types of prayer help us to better understand this relationship with God?
You know, we've talked a lot about how the one of the beautiful facets of our Church is that we're a church of the both and, that all through our history, people have related to God in lots of different ways. So, mm-hmm. you know, the prophets, they met God in a burning bush on top of a mountain, and Elijah meets God in a tiny whispering sound all by himself, you know, and
mm-hmm.
Jesus meets God in the baptism and the transfiguration, these beautiful, huge moments, and he goes into the desert silently and quietly to meet God. So, We've found that in our lives, and I think this is true for many of us, there's a type or a form of prayer that touches every moment and every part of our lives. So we've got personal prayer that we do, you know, alone with God, whether that's the rosary or journaling or going to adoration by ourselves. We've got the communal prayer that we do with others, whether it's prayer with your spouse or your family, prayer in the Mass as a community. You know, we've got very spontaneous, informal prayers when something's going on in our lives. We've got very ritualized sacramental prayers in reconciliation and
mm-hmm.
Anointing of the sick. There's just such this amazing variety of prayer that it like you mentioned, it offers something for everyone, no matter how old or young you are,
where
you are in your life, what you're feeling that day. There's
mm-hmm.
There's something for everyone.
Well, and when you mention community, that causes me to ask how we can invite others into a deeper prayer life. I mean, it's sometimes very uncomfortable to say, can we pray together?
Because it's so personal.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, that concept of invitation I see as maybe having three levels and realizing that others first invited me in. I remember going to college, I didn't know how to pray the rosary, didn't know that such a thing as daily Mass even existed, and people were courageous enough to invite me to join them and taught me, you know, took me under their wing. And so I see it being as plain and simple as that, that now I can go out and encourage others to join me, or, you know, tell them that I'll help them along and can show them the ropes. It's also just being a prayerful presence, allowing yourself to be seen praying, that others might be inspired by, or even just ask you, you know, well, mm-hmm. what is that that you're doing in the workplace or out and about? And then also praying for others. St. Monica and St. Augustine are such a great reminder to us of the power of prayer to bring others closer to Christ, and that we can be these life-changing, church-changing instruments for others.
Are there some particular challenges or benefits that we have as Catholics in developing a prayer life?
Well, you know, I mentioned that really rich, ancient, and just absolutely unique tradition that we have as Catholics of prayer, which I think gives us the great opportunity of being able to connect to God in ancient, timeless, and disciplined ways. You know, it's our church isn't a fickle church. Our relationship with God through the Church doesn't ebb and flow with our emotions or the culture or whoever our pastor is or the person next to us in the pew. We don't have a moody church necessarily,
uh-huh.
which is a great opportunity. It's very solid and it's very disciplined. But I think, you know, the challenge for us then as Catholics is that that can, if we're not connecting to God, who is the source of life, that ritual, that discipline, can become a dry habit for many of us. You know, it just becomes like brushing your teeth
right.
or making your bed. You know, if it's disconnected from the source of life, it can become, very honestly, a lifeless habit.
Monotonous, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you guys, thank you so much, and we are so looking forward to hearing your talk coming up, and thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you, guys. God bless you.
And mark your calendars now for the Rediscover Faith 2014 Speaker Series, which starts February 3rd. Father Bill Baer presents the first talk in the series, Rediscover Why Pray, and Pat and Ken and Malay present the second talk, Rediscover How to Pray.
Two talks are offered on consecutive weeks at each location. Here are the locations and dates. February 3rd and 10th at Holy Name of Jesus, Wayzata. February 4th and 11th at St. John Newman, Egan. February 24th and March 3rd at Our Lady of Grace in Edina, and February 25th and March 4th at St. John the Baptist, New Brighton.
And all Rediscover Faith 2014 Speaker Series talks begin at 7 p.m. and run 90 minutes, including hospitality time. Details are at rediscover-faith.org under events. Total attendance topped 15,000 for the 2013 series. Make sure you are among those to participate in the all-new talks focused on prayer this year.
And coming up on the Rediscover Hour, we'll talk with a woman who has made attending the annual Archdiocesan single-parent retreat a priority. Find out why she makes sure this special day is on her calendar every year.
And we'll have a look at other Catholic events coming up around town when we come right back.
Rediscover.
Stinson Electric solves electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers. They strive for the best results for their customers.
This is Paul Archambault of Stinson Electric. This summer, I took a 10-day vacation up at the lake. The first three emails that I opened on Monday morning were all compliments about how well my employees had handled various things while I was gone. What a blessing to come back to that.
Stinson Electric has such a wide set of skills, your electrical needs are always handled by an expert in the field.
Our ideal in our company is to have each person be continuously improving. So we host annual in-house training for our electricians. They're trained in safety, they're trained in new codes, troubleshooting techniques. That way, with a number of employees, we have kind of a wide range of knowledge. People become experts on different parts of the business.
Stinson Electric is the sponsor of the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio. You can contact Paul at 612-424-7382.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. And we were just perusing the news for stories about the new evangelization. And I found one from the Catholic Sentinel titled New Evangelization 101, Confident Embrace of Faith and Then Invitation. And it kind of runs through the history of the term new evangelization, when it started, how it's evolved, and what it's come to today. It talks about the year of faith, which we know just ended, called by Pope Benedict to adjust the church's mission from maintenance to growth through the work of the new evangelization. So it's kind of interesting.
And there are three fronts,
right,
we understand, on which this work is done: liturgy, catechesis, and charity.
Charity, in which Pope Francis is really focusing on the charity part, I believe. And he says, I love this quote, "I prefer a church which is bruised, hurting, and dirty because it has been out on the streets, rather than a church which is unhealthy from being confined and from clinging to its own security."
Church, he said, is a field hospital for sinners. It's great stuff. Well, we sit here as both parents, but at different stages in life.
Very different stages.
I'm in the dark tunnel,
and you have, I don't even see a light yet, but maybe a pinhole, and you are.
I never called it that.
Well, I mean, it's endearing, of course, a good tunnel. I'm very happy to be in it. It's very dark and confining and long right now. It's seemingly long.
I'm now a veteran grandfather. I have two grandsons now. So all parents need to step back sometimes and reflect on how we're doing raising our children. Thank God for the gift of family and let Him guide us.
Let Him guide us. That's huge for me right now. And every year, local single parents are invited to do just that during a special morning of prayer and reflection sponsored by the Archdiocese Office of Marriage, Family, and Life. Doreen Parks is a parishioner at St. Michael Catholic Church in St. Michael and has attended the last several single parent retreats. And she's joining us today to tell us more about this unique opportunity. Hello, Doreen.
Hi. Thank you for having me today.
Of course. Now, tell us a little bit about why you go to these single-parent retreats and what they entail.
Well, first of all, I wanted to just mention I read about the retreat in our church bulletin, so it's important to read the church bulletin.
Sure. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
A lot of info there. Good info.
A lot of info, and that's where I learned about the retreat. But the reason I go to the retreat, and I remember the first year, I wanted to connect with single parents. And the parents are male and females, different ages. And I wanted to connect in a safe and comfortable environment. And the reason why I've kept coming back to the retreats is because I consider it me time. It's something that I choose to do. I'm not forced to do it. And it's like you're connecting with parents that may have experienced the same frustrations or concerns that you've had. So it's nice to have that me time where you can sit back, relax, talk to others, and just reflect.
Address for us, if you would, some of the unique challenges of being a single parent.
Well, you know, I think that can vary with everybody, but I think the unique challenges that come to mind is that there's never that quiet time.
The rest.
It's the rest. It's multitasking. It's going to work. Maybe it's picking up children from daycare. You know, maybe you have an adolescent teenager, which I do, uh-huh. And it's homework. It's just constant. It's constant. So that can be a challenge, and I think the other challenges that we encounter is decision-making. Sometimes we maybe come across some major decisions we have to make by ourselves, and maybe we have only a few seconds to make those decisions. So the decision-making process can be difficult at times, and we have to go inward to make these healthy decisions for our children, and that can be difficult.
Mm-hmm. And what have you learned personally from some of these retreats? What have you gained?
Oh, God, there's a lot. You know, I was trying to think back to the retreats I went to, and I was just going to highlight some of it over the years I went to, but there's so much knowledge and wisdom that I've gained. And looking back at the keynote speakers, the first year I went, Father Michael Becker talked about how life is short, and when we're on our way and looking ahead to get to heaven, but we have to kind of go through those storms to get there, and we have to trust in God in looking to God to help us get there. And he talked about human hopes, the hope they have, and the different extremes, the two different extremes of human hope that I won't go into. The next year, you know, that I attended Father Al Backman, he talked about parenting, and myself, I can't speak for everyone, but we do it out of love. You know, if I discipline my child, I always tell my son, who's 14, why do I discipline you? And he'll kind of shrug his shoulders because he doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. But we do it out of love.
Because you love him, right.
I tell him all the time, you may not like it, but it's all out of love. I love you for the deepest love. And so he talked a little bit about that and how the decisions and how to keep God as a focus in our family and the activities to do. Last year, Father John Paul Erickson, he really emphasized we must make time with God on a daily basis, daily prayer, speaking to God, to be faithful. And we need the hardest part, I think a theme has been over the years as single parents, whatever the situation may be, is that we need to forgive and to let go. And that's part of healing. We need to forgive. It's not forgetting, because that's totally different from forgiving.
Right.
Sure.
But it's forgiving and letting go of whatever happened, the pains in our life.
That one you mentioned a minute ago, making time for prayer, that has to be a challenge, considering what you just said a few minutes ago about how you're always going.
No time, right.
Yeah, and you really have to think about it on a daily basis. One of the things I do is in the morning, driving to work, saying the rosary on the way to work. And maybe on the way, so I try to, on the way to work, on the way home from work, say the rosary too. In the evenings, always having prayer time with your child or your children, whatever the case may be. But sometimes it's really hard because you think, okay, I don't have time, but if you have time for this, you definitely should have time for prayer. So it's just taking those minutes out of the day to do so.
Right, you got to be intentional about it.
Correct.
And do you invite other single parents to attend? Have you invited any of your single parent friends, and how do you invite them?
Yes, I have. I've reached out to other single parents, and what I usually communicate to these to the parents is that this is a great opportunity to connect with other single parents in a larger community, a Catholic community, because we are all used to our smaller communities wherever we live. So this is a larger scope. It's very comfortable, relaxing, non-threatening. You can sit and listen. You can talk. You don't have to talk. You'll gain wisdom, insight. You can take notes. So always, you can go back and reflect on what's communicated to you. And, you know, I think at times you forget that some people are really people-oriented. They can go outside their comfort zone quite easily. But I encourage single parents to go because just get outside that comfort box, you know, we may have. For some people, it's not easy to meet other people. So this is a great opportunity to meet people in a very safe, relaxed environment and really some excellent, excellent speakers.
This has got to be a form of me time, too, I would think.
And correct.
That must be important, considering all of the challenges of single parenthood.
Yes. And we just don't have, you know, single or not single, we just don't have enough of me time in our lives. You know,
we're
busy.
Yeah.
And me time for myself, too, is going to adoration. That's me time, too, quieting down, going inward, being with God. And that's just an awesome me time, too, is adoration. And the prayer times, too, is just awesome.
Doreen, thank you so much for joining us today and telling us about some of the challenges of single parenthood and some of the joys, too.
Oh, thank you. And like I said, thank you for having me.
Here again are the details on the upcoming Single Parent Retreat sponsored by the Archdiocesan Office of Marriage, Family, and Life. It takes place Saturday, February 8th, 9 a.m. to 12 noon at Maternity of Mary in St. Paul. There's an optional Mass at 8 a.m.
Single parents are invited to come enjoy a morning of Christian support and renewal through presentation, fellowship, and meaningful discussion. Very reverent. Timothy Clotier, Judicial Vicar of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, and Catherine Molnar, Licensed Psychologist and the Clinical Director of the Midwest Center for Personal and Family Development, will offer presentations on heavenly help in raising your children and instilling resilience, establishing a firm foundation of healthy self-esteem and boundaries.
Cost is $10. Register online at www.archspm.org. Free child care provided if needed. If you have any questions about the retreat, call the Marriage, Family, and Life Office, 651-291-4489. We've also linked this information from our show page. Just go to rediscover-faith.org and click on Radio in the top navigation bar.
And time now for a quick look at other upcoming local Catholic events. A reminder about the talks Pat and Ken MLA discussed with us earlier in the show today. The Rediscover Faith 2014 Speaker Series starts February 3rd. Talks in the series begin at 7 p.m. and run 90 minutes, including hospitality time. There are two talks in the 2014 speakers, Rediscover Why Pray and Rediscover How to Pray. These two inspiring talks are offered on consecutive weeks at each location, February 3rd and 10th at Holy Name of Jesus, YZETA, February 4th and 11th at St. John Newman Egan, February 24th and March 3rd at Our Lady of Grace in Edina, and February 25th and March 4th at St. John the Baptist in New Brighton.
On Friday, February 14th, St. Paul's Outreach Men on a Mission presents Bishop John Lavoir of New Ulm speaking on the new evangelization. It takes place at 7 a.m. at the Embassy Suites in Bloomington. There is no charge. Donations are gratefully accepted to offset food costs. To RSVP for Bishop Lavoir's talk, visit splweb.org or call 651-451-6114. That's 651-451-6114.
And registration is open for the annual Archdiocesan Lenten Women's Retreat on March 8th.
This event is sponsored by the Archdiocese Office of Marriage, Family, and Life and takes place from 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at St. Peter Catholic Church in North St. Paul. This inspiring morning of prayer and reflection features two talks by Relevant Radio's Father Rocky. The theme is The Lost Art of Femininity, and the cost is $15 per person. Women of all ages are invited. Come and bring a family member or a friend with you. To register, go to archspm.org and search under events, or call 651-291-4489. That's 651-291-4489 for more information.
Registration is also open for the Archdiocesan Men's Conference. It's March 22nd at the Anderson Fieldhouse on the University of St. Thomas St. Paul campus. Confession starts at 7 a.m. Programming starts at 8 a.m. and ends at noon. Morning of Inspiration will feature Mass, dynamic nationally known speakers, fellowship, and food. Adult admission is $20. Student admission is $10. To register, go to archspm.org, search under events, or call 651-291-4489. That's 651-291-4489 for more information.
And if you are looking for a theater production to entertain you and make you think about the importance of faith, you might want to check out Open Window Theater's production of A Man for All Seasons. It opens February 14th and runs through March 16th. A Man for All Seasons is an historical drama based on Sir Thomas More and his last years as Lord Chancellor of England during the reign of Henry VIII. His strong moral conviction leads to his execution and eventually his canonization in 1935. Open Window Theater is located in Minneapolis, just a few blocks from the Basilica of St. Mary in Minneapolis. Call 800-838-3006. That's 800-838-3006 for more information. And for more information on any of the events we've mentioned today on the Rediscover Hour, please visit the Rediscover Hour show page, rediscover-faith.org, and click on radio in the top navigation bar.
Coming up on the Rediscover Hour next week, the theme for year two of the Archdiocese's Rediscover Initiative is prayer. Maybe you made it a resolution to pray more and better in 2014. We'll check in with the always inspiring Deacon Dan Gannon. He'll give some ideas to help you stay the course when it comes to reaching this important spiritual goal. The Rediscover Hour, brought to you by Stinson Electric, Fridays 9 a.m., Saturdays 6 p.m., Sundays at 9 a.m. on Relevant Radio.
Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, Rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.